Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. I am the Bill Arnold part of that sentence. Thank you for joining me today. I just want to start gushing because I love all my listeners and I love all the people that so faithfully were supporting us during our Winter Gap campaign last week. It was absolutely sensational what was done in the life of this ministry as we are now looking at year number 70 coming up in 2019. Really hard to believe this ministry has been at it for 70 years. And it is so amazing to me that faithful listeners like you has said yes, that I will be willing to pray for and support financially this ministry. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to be gushing for a while because that is in my nature, just to be appreciative and full of gratitude. So thank you again and again. So we have, again, like I always say, a fantastic show lined up today. Paul and Wendy Johnson are in my studio. And if you heard the Johnsons when they were in, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks ago, they told the story, the very unbelievable, riveting story of the loss of their son to a murder, and then the what's been going on since. And I know our email and our phones, they all lit up because it was an example of forgiveness unlike what most people have heard before. And I've invited them back because we're kind of at a great place in the time of year when we're getting ready to be with lots of relatives and family, and we're starting to make plans to gather, to be together. And you never know what's on the hearts of people. Are you at a place where you need to forgive somebody? Is there someone in your world that you need to start paying down the debt because of what they did to you, and you need to ask for forgiveness to someone over something you've done? Or if you're harboring bitterness in your heart over something that was done to you maybe decades ago, let's get it out on the table. Let's work through it today. Let's bring it to the Lord. And if you have questions, you're going to want to call 877-933-2484. If you're stuck, struggling, and you're upset about the fact you can't get over this, well, the couple in the studio have got something that they are working through by God's grace, and we will help you today. Paul and Wendy will take your call, will take your text, 877-933-2484. Paul is a pastor here, and Wendy, his wife, is the music minister at the church at Ridgewood in Minnetonka. And they have been in ministry for quite a while. So we're going to find out a little bit more about what's going on in their world and also their a recap of their experience and what they're going through. And then we want to open up the phone lines and let you come with your concerns and your questions and whatever it is that you have regarding unforgiveness and the power of forgiveness that is available to all of us, because we as sinners have been forgiven if we've come to faith in Christ. And that's the goal of this radio show, is that you may come to faith in Christ and that you may know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, and that if there is someone in your world that you need forgiveness from, it's the time to do it. It's always the time to do it. So, as you know, I love Scripture on the show, and I want a million people to call in and say, here is my Scripture verse. So all you do is call 877-933-2484, and just you'll get into our voicemail, and you can say, I'd like to leave a message for Bill's show, and then just say what the verse is, and then read the verse. That's all you have to do. Here is John chapter 11, verse 4, read by Wendy.
John 11, verse 4. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.
This week, the Faith Radio prayer team is asking God to prepare hearts to receive the indescribable gift of His Son. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, those broken and hurting and living in darkness. Join us in praying that our hearts will be made ready for the coming of Christ, and that all would find rest and hope in Jesus, the Prince of Peace. To pray with us regularly, become a prayer team member and receive weekly email prayer prompts when you sign up today at myfaithradio.com/prayer.
Have you ever wished you could listen to your favorite radio program when you wanted to? That way you'd never miss a program you really wanted to hear, simply because your program came on when you had an appointment, you were at work, or something urgent came up. Well, you can listen to your favorite programs whenever you want. Download the Faith Radio app by searching Faith Radio in the Apple Store or Google Play Store. Podcasts of your favorite program are now available on iTunes and Google Play Music app. Search and subscribe to your favorite program and listen anytime.
I am happy it's Monday. I love Mondays. I don't know if you're like me, but I love a Monday. Nothing like a Monday. So I am in studio with Paul and Wendy Johnson. And as you know, or you don't know, a month ago or so, I had them on the show and they told the very tragic, compelling story of the loss of their son to a murder. And now they are in the process of working on forgiving the man who murdered their son, and also hoping that they can find a place to be discipling him in the future, to lead them, to lead him to the Lord and be part of his world going forward, which is an amazing story. So, Paul and Wendy, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Bill. It's great to be here.
Yeah. I don't know if I summarized it well, but maybe you would just give our listeners again a brief story of what happened.
Sure. About 5.5 years ago, we were pastoring a church in Vancouver, British Columbia. And our son, Taylor, who was 21 years old at the time, was shot and killed in a robbery. And that set in motion a whole lot of series of events that kind of culminate in being with you today. And our story really is one of God, I think, just empowering us to move along in the Holy Spirit through some really crazy and difficult things. But each step of the way that we felt like our commitment was to bring Jesus with us wherever we could go. And, you know, he led us into the criminal justice system. He led us into the court system. He led us into places in our community that we would have never had an opportunity to go. And he still does that today. He led us to meet the offender named Jesse, who is currently in prison. And he's allowed us through various means to receive his apology and then to work on forgiving him and to offer it back so that our prayer is that he will one day give his life to Christ. So we continue to stay in touch. We send him notes and letters and try to give him the gospel every which way and over. And you know, the story is not about us. It's about the power of God to forgive. And I think I was just telling Wendy, we were sitting outside in your beautiful studio here, and I said, Wendy, I don't feel qualified to be talking about this. But she reminded me that this is a God story. It's God's thing. So that's 5.5 years of wandering and wondering at times, you know, where is God? And trying to get our kids through this. We have 12-year-old twins at home, as well as some older children. So it hasn't been easy, but we've also seen God do amazing things through this.
And when there's something as tragic as this, there is a ripple effect that I know has run into the lives of your children. And so the work that is before you, not only mourning, lamenting, dealing with anger, dealing with why God? I'm sure that's come up more than once. Yeah. That you then have the hard work of something that you never anticipated, that you'd have to deal with the difficult job of walking your kids through this.
Yeah, and it's just it's ongoing, and we face things almost daily with the kids. And then when things happen that are traumatic, that aren't related to what we've already walked through, it jars them into remembering things, and they're walking through anxiety and all these things all over again. So, yeah, for each child, whether it's our 12-year-old all the way to 32, they're all struggling in their own ways, as we are, but also really trying to rely on the Lord to help heal those hurts, to still be a light. I think it's also very interesting that through the time of trauma, we were still required to be teachers. We needed to teach our church at the time how to care for those that are in trauma. Things to say and not say, those kinds of things. It was just all a very good teaching moment, but we didn't expect to be walking through it and need to be teachers as well. So we're still holding our kids' hands in trying to be there for them, and it's not always easy, and we're not perfect. So we do mess up, and we do need to rally, and we're still looking at ways that we can support each child individually. And
I think one of the things that God has given us through this is an opportunity to move into suffering, the suffering of others, in a way that you don't really have to say why, that you just have credibility when they know what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can move in and offer something that we wouldn't have been able to offer before. Very committed to the idea that suffering is a gift from God, a gift that we don't necessarily want. It's not the present under the tree that you're hoping to get when you get up in the morning, but it is a gift because Jesus becomes so much more real and deep, and you begin to process things that you never would have processed before, and you also have an opportunity to give that to others in a way that they respect what you're saying to them. And my hope is that as we pastor our church and come in contact with others and speak at prisons, never thought I'd be on the prison circuit, but here we are.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the gift we want to give back is Jesus loves you. He's there. Don't run from your suffering. Give it to him. Let him come out of that suffering into your heart and mind, and give yourself to him even more.
I was going to say something when you were sharing that. I was thinking back in Canada, and a friend came to me not long after Taylor had been killed, and we were still maneuvering through whether I would stay in my job or all of that stuff. But she just came in my office and sat there, and she sat there kind of stunned. And I said, "What's going on?" And she said, "You know, you have already walked through your first husband leaving you, and you're a single mom, and Paul's already walked through losing a wife to cancer." And she said, "So I really kind of thought you had a get out of jail free card." Mm-hmm. And I, you know, that's just not how it goes. But I feel like that verse that was shared earlier, we have opportunities all the time for whether we're going to glorify God in it or not. And so it's really comes down to a choice, and it comes down to, what do I want people to see? Do I want people to see me trying to strive and me trying to make it through this, or do I want them to see God and him helping us through it? So
it begs the question, and I heard this in a sermon that said, did you get into this relationship for me to serve you or for you to serve me?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's like the big question.
Because
if we get into a relationship with God for him to serve us, probably in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I think times like this in our lives push us past consumeristic Christianity.
Oh, yeah.
Drives us to Christocentric Christianity. Mm-hmm. It helps us understand that we are not to be shopping for the best Christian experience. That discipleship is about submission. It's about giving ourselves to Jesus. And I think it also drives home the idea that though suffering is real to us, Jesus, his suffering was just over-the-top crazy suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we are feeling like we're alone, and there are dark, believe me, there are dark days. I mean, I remember that first year, I just put a playlist together. I'd lay there at night and just listen, and it was just horrific. But Jesus never forsook me. He was always there. And his suffering always was some place of comfort for me. Because as bad as I felt, I had a high priest that knew what that felt like.
Yeah. If you are in a place of suffering, you're in a place where forgiveness is needed, and you have a question for Paul or Wendy, please call 877-933-2484. That also applies to a text line. So if you can text us, you can ask a question at 877-93-FAITH. Or you can do it the old-fashioned way, and you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com, and I'll ask the question on your behalf. We're talking about suffering and forgiveness today, and if you are stuck and you need some loving, gentle counseling, please call. We'd love to hear from you, 877-933-2484. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening today. 21 minutes after the hour, we've got Paul and Wendy Johnson in the studio, and we're chatting about their life-changing experience when their son was murdered and the process of moving ahead with forgiveness and understanding that we will be suffering in this world. And, you know, during the break, we were talking about the idea that a lot of us just don't like the idea of suffering at all. And maybe if we become Christians, maybe we'll suffer less.
That's not really the gospel.
I know it's not.
And the problem is, Bill, as a pastor, you preach this. It's not always popular with church boards and with your congregation who may, some of them might file out of your church. But the truth of the matter is, when you sign up to follow Jesus, the Bible's pretty clear that he said, they hate me, they're going to hate you. And Paul's talking about how I want to enter into the suffering of Christ. I want to experience that suffering. I want to feel that suffering. That's beautiful, you know, because he understood that that suffering would drive him deeper and closer to Christ, which was his heart call. So I think that we've got to get past this idea that if I am a Christian, bad things shouldn't be happening to me. Or if something that I perceive as bad happens to me, I'm somehow not in God's will. I made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
No, God can sometimes lead us right into suffering, I believe, in order to refine us and to draw us to himself.
Yeah. I've got a caller on the line who would wish to remain anonymous, and she lives in Minnesota here. Welcome to the show. You have a question for Paul and Wendy.
Yeah, thank you so much for talking about this topic. I feel when you're going through suffering, oftentimes you do feel alone because it makes people feel uncomfortable. But my question is on regards to an unwanted divorce, and my ex really has not, apologized or feels remorseful. And I know my life needs to move on and that God is going to redeem my story, but what does forgiveness look like when there's no remorse?
It's very challenging to walk through what you're walking through. And I think sometimes it's a matter of prayer. I know for me, as I walk through my first husband, choosing to send me and my daughter away when she was one, my heart was to forgive him, and my heart was to restore our marriage, but that just wasn't something that he wanted. And I think that it's important to continue to pray for that person, to pray for your spouse or ex-spouse, however you want to say it, because that's going to help our heart in the process to not be bitter and to not hold on to anger. But there is a season, there may be a season where it's just going to be hard to pray. I remember walking through so many times praying for restoration. And maybe at Easter, you know, if he hears a message, he's going to turn around and, you know, come back. And maybe, you know, if he goes to this church or, you know, goes with a friend, I just remember just pleading with God that he would change his heart and that he would come back. And that wasn't the case. But there was a season where I just said, God, I don't know how to pray for him. So Holy Spirit, will you intercede on my behalf? Will you intercede on his behalf? And I will tell you, we moved back to Minnesota Well, Paul lived here before we moved to Minnesota a little over 2 years ago. And my daughter is 19 now. Our daughter is 19. And we finally went through a restoration process when we moved back to Minnesota with my ex's family. And so 18 years of praying for restoration. So it's not necessarily a short fix, right? I don't know if I'm answering your question very well.
No, you are. And I, my daughter was a year and a half when that happened too. Mm-hmm. And it's just the triggers continue. And mm-hmm. into my second marriage, I'm so mad that you created this trigger and, mm-hmm. and I'm still suffering from your decision. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. I think you're right. The prayer never can stop.
Mm-hmm. You know? And the other piece too, is always speaking truth to yourself, but in situations when he would, you know, my ex would call and say things to me, I would gently need to just remind him, this is part of your consequence. This is part of the choice that you made. And not to belittle and not to make him feel cruddy, but just, this is part of it. And if I could go back and do some things differently, I absolutely would. I think I was at, you know, at times a doormat and at times I didn't know the meaning of submission. I had a misconception about that word. And so I would do things differently. But I think for your heart to continue to pray, Lord, would you help me to forgive him for the things that he's done in my world and mm-hmm. for my child? And that's the hard part, mm-hmm. right? It's more about our kid than about what we've walked through almost at times. We don't want our child to hurt.
No. Thank you so much. It's very helpful to know you're not alone.
Yeah, for sure. You're not alone.
Thank you. God bless. Thank you so much for calling. All right, we're going to take a break in about a minute, so I don't know if I should get into the next question, but I'm starting to get ones coming in on the text and email. And if you have a question on forgiveness and how you might be stuck and what next step you might need to take, 877-933-2484 is the phone number if you want to engage in conversation live. If you want to send a text message, that number is the same number for the text. And you can also email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. Paul and Wendy Johnson are my guests in studio. So we will take a short break, but when we come back, I certainly invite you to call or to send text questions or email, and we'll try to get to your questions. Thank you so much for listening. We'll take a very short break and be right back. Welcome back to the show. It's 31 minutes after the hour. Paul and Wendy Johnson. Paul's a pastor here in the Twin Cities. His wife, Wendy, is the loves to lead worship at the church, which is Ridgewood in Minnetonka, Minnesota. And we're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about suffering. They have done quite a bit of it themselves. They have lost a child to a murder, and the murderer is behind bars, and they're now doing what God has called them to do, to forgive, to do prison ministry, to reach out to the people who are suffering with these kinds of tragedies. But really at the core of all of it is, are you struggling with forgiveness? Do you need to forgive somebody? So if you do, and you've got a question, please call 877-933-2484. That also works as a text. The last question that just came in is this: how does one really forgive themselves when all you feel are festering wounds?
Forgiving oneself is very, very hard. I find it to be more difficult than forgiving others a lot of times. And forgive the pastor in me, but I think to go to what we know to be the truth theologically and in Scripture is really important. No matter what we've done, no matter what's been done to us, and I'm also a sexual abuse survivor, and there's a tremendous amount of shame with that. There's a tremendous amount of, I could have done something different. I should have done something different. The Bible tells us is that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible tells us that if we ask for forgiveness, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us. The Bible tells us that Jesus loves us regardless of our condition. And I think that in order to understand that, we have to go to the cross and we have to understand the depth of the atonement and understand the depth of his substitutionary death for us, because he took all sin on him. So why would we want to carry that? But I think what we run into is we run into a tremendous amount of attacks by the enemy. Satan likes to go into those places and convince us that that love isn't real or isn't really for me, it's for other people. I think shame is such a huge issue in the church today. I wish we would talk more about it. Shame is just around so many people's ankles. So I would just say this. I would say, remember who Jesus is and how he views you. And he's enthralled with you. He loves you. And that's not going to go away.
Mm-hmm. Can we get a little mini seminar on shame?
Shame is such a thing that is a natural consequence of things that happen to us. So it's not wrong in itself to feel shame, but it is wrong when shame begins to define us, begins to define how we treat other people. When sexual abuse victims talk about re-victimization, that comes out of shame. And then that shame causes you to repeat that behavior, or others can pick up on that shame and understand that you're a very likely victim again. But freedom with Christ isn't just about eternal life. It's also about abundant life. And I'm not talking about a lot of money and cars like you have, Bill.
Mm-hmm, yeah, a lot of them.
I'm talking about being free to be who we are in front of Christ. And when we're who we are in front of Christ, shame has no place there, because Jesus sees us as being forgiven. And here's the beautiful thing is, one day when we walk into heaven, theologically speaking, we're attached to Jesus and Jesus is attached to us. And we wear that beautiful robe of righteousness. And so we must believe that and we must understand that theologically.
I was having almost that exact thought the other day at my villa in Tuscany. You know, thinking, boy, I'm glad I paid cash for this. You know,
it is a gift.
It's a gift, yeah. So when you have had this experience losing your son, you have a certain level of street cred now with other people who have had traumatic things go on in their life, because you understand the depth of the tragedy. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine there's now more people find you to be a place of comfort to come to mm-hmm. find answers, to find, ask the whys.
I think I've had that experience with quite a few people. And I think when they come with their stuff and they share it, they kind of share it like, why aren't you running? Right? And I just sit there and I'm like, because nothing's going to push me away from showing you love, because that's what my God does for me.
Right? I love it.
Yeah. Like, there's nothing someone can say to me that's going to surprise me, really. I think, really, we've heard a lot of stories and we've walked people through a lot of stuff and discipled people through a lot of really, really hard stuff. And I grieve for them that they have to walk through it and endure it. But just so thankful that we can be there and walk with them.
People in churches are so isolated from each other and from the pain of others. And to talk about pain is really hard. I personally, Wendy will tell you, in our small group at our church, we'll go around the room and I'm very interested in everyone's pain. And then I'll zip it right past me.
Yeah.
And why don't you go now? Because it's uncomfortable and I don't like having those eyes on me. But once people find out that you're really interested and that you do have a level of understanding, I did a funeral on Saturday for a 9-year-old girl. And when I meet the family, I'll very carefully insert some of my story. And immediately when they find out that you've lost a child, doesn't matter what age, they will all of a sudden attend to what you're saying. You have their attention. And then when you say it actually in the funeral, then you go from just being this kind of hired hand to being, oh, well, this is something real. And that's what I mean by the gift of suffering. That's part of that gift. Because you now have something you can give that is really part of yourself.
Do we frame it that way, though, in our own heads, that, hey, I've got this gift of suffering?
No, I don't think so. I think it would be weird to want suffering. I'm not at all saying we should want suffering.
I'm not saying you're saying that.
You're right. We don't frame it like that because we see everything as either good or bad for us, or in our limited understanding, well, that was a bad thing that happened, or that was the wrong thing. When in a sense, God is saying, wait a minute, I have a different definition of that. And yes, my son I sent to the cross, that was a tragedy. That was awful. That was horrible. But that was a redemption. That was a redemptive plan. And I think we don't really believe that God could actually have that for us. Sure, for Jesus, he's Jesus, but it goes for us as well.
I love the idea that maybe as followers of Christ, though, we can say, instead of you looking at me, if I went through something traumatic and said, poor me, you'd say, you have an incredible gift of suffering that you can then share with others. Mm. I mean, it's not the easiest words, but it's a gift. Mm-hmm. You know, you two have a gift now.
We're going to give the gift back at the earliest opportunity. We're going to go to the store and get our money back. I think that, yes, but you know the biggest thing we've learned, Bill, is through these trials that we're talking about, and we don't mean to insinuate that our trials are any better or worse than anyone else's, but we've learned sometimes just to be quiet and not try to explain things away. When someone's talking about their pain, we've learned just to listen, and that is a great gift that we don't give to people very often. Wendy has the stupid things people have said to us list, because people say crazy stuff because they don't know what to say.
Yeah.
So
all well intentioned. Yeah,
but sometimes just smile, look into the person's eyes, and listen, because there's nothing you can say that's going to make that pain go away.
I think we have to sit in the pain with them sometimes. Right.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean that we don't want to pass along the hope of Christ or the hope of Scripture, but we need to be careful with that, because when someone's in the depth of pain, they may not be ready to receive
that. Mm-hmm. How do you forgive when you can't forget?
Well, you're never going to forget. And that's something you just have to remember that, you know, forgiveness doesn't mean just putting it away like it never happened. Mm-hmm. It can go for so many different avenues of life. When we talk about women that we talked to earlier, that's divorced, or we talk about an abuse victim who can't any longer relate to their abuser or whatever the case may be, that incident is going to be there. We're never going to forget that our son was murdered. We're never going to forget the night the detectives came over and talked to Wendy, and we're never going to forget any of that. But I think we have to separate that from the actual act of forgiveness. Forgiveness is an act of the will. And when I met Jesse for the first time, when he was being interrogated by the detectives, I was careful with my wording. I didn't want to give him the idea that I could snap my fingers and forgiveness would be there. And so I said, we're going to work on forgiving you, because it is an act of the will. But I don't see any other option for a believer than to move down that road. Now, it may take years for some people. It may take a lifetime of moving down that road. But if we really believe that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, if we really believe that Jesus was serious when he said, rather have you go make it right with your brother before you come and worship me, then we don't have a choice if we really call ourselves Jesus followers.
I was just going to say, you know, we grew up with that phrase, forgive and forget, didn't we?
Right.
We did. But to be honest, and I might sound weird, but I don't want to forget the things that I've walked through with God, because it shows me the process. It shows me progress. It shows me of, you know, it, God's faithfulness, how he's proved himself over and over again. Why would I want to forget that? I mean, yeah, I understand you don't want to remember certain things that are painful. But when I think back to 5.5 years ago and where we were at then as a family and to where we're at now, yeah, it's still hard, but God's done so much work. God has brought so many people to Christ through this story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just even think of just recently when we shared in at Faribault Prison, and now that experience is a part of my story, and it wasn't before. And so God is the best orchestrator, right? I don't want to forget it.
How do we go about trusting God with our pain?
Wow. That's hard. It's hard because there's a faith component of that and there's a relational component of that. And I would say very, very simply, you've got to get to know God. You have to put time aside to really know him, not just about him, but to know him in a way that you can say, yeah, I can give that to you and it's going to be okay.
I was thinking not long after Taylor passed away, we found out that my cousin's daughter had gone missing, her teenage daughter. And I was just so stressed and really struggling with God. We were already in turmoil over Taylor. And then this happened and my mama's heart was just freaking out. And I remember saying to Paul, I need to go sleep in the guest room because you're not going to get any sleep if I'm in here. And he's like, okay. So I went in there and I wrestled with the Lord. And I was like, Lord, why? Why? Like, and all along the way, God just kept whispering, do you trust me? And I kept saying, I am trying my best, but right now I'm really struggling with that. But that was the question all along. Do you trust me? Like, we can say that with everything with Taylor too. Like, that's the question he asked. Do you trust me? And there's going to be times when absolutely is so hard, but he is trustworthy. Right?
What's the difference between trusting in theory and trusting in reality?
Trusting in reality brings peace. And I think there's actions that go along with that. Trusting in theory is just, well, that may be true. I like that.
I mean, because can't we as Christians say certain words?
Mm-hmm. Sure, we can.
Trust the Lord with this pain, but you're not showing.
Mm-hmm.
I think Wendy, wrestling with God is a great visible picture. And if you go into Scripture, so many of the great men and women of the Bible, quite literally in Jacob's case, wrestled with God before God was going to do something amazing in their lives. Because that faith needed to become real. And real faith leads to peace. Not happiness, like smiles all the time, but a deep set knowledge that everything is okay because God has it.
Yeah. All right. Paul and Wendy Johnson are in my studio. We'll take a little break. When we come back, we've got time for another call or a text question, 877-933-2484. Are you struggling with forgiveness, or are you in a place of suffering and you don't know how to move forward? They have a lot of experience. So give us a call, 877-93-FAITH, or also a text, or you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. Big Hand is on the 49, and we only have 11 minutes left, and it's been passing so quickly with Paul and Wendy Johnson. Paul is a pastor here in the Twin Cities at Ridgewood Church in Minnetonka, and his wife Wendy is worship leader, and they have gone through an incredible experience having lost a child to murder, and now they have to, they have been working at forgiveness and reaching out to the murderer of their son and praying for his soul, and we're just trying to open up to as many callers as we can if they have questions about feeling stuck in unforgiveness or maybe you're in a place of suffering. We've got Bethany on the line calling in from Hartford, Connecticut. Bethany, welcome to the show. You have a question for Paul and Wendy.
Yeah, just how to keep moving forward. My mother recently passed the day before Thanksgiving, and she had been in the hospital for about 5 months. We were believing God for her healing, and she passed. And it's just been difficult. It's been very difficult.
Yeah, you know what? I'm sorry that that happened, and I'm sorry you're going through this. It's a very painful thing to have to experience, especially during the holiday season. You know, prayer is a complicated thing at times because we pray in faith and we pray with all of our hearts, and we don't often get the answer that we wanted. And it's difficult to trust when God seems to be silent or when God seems to be saying no to something that seems so obvious to us. And I would say to you that God is still with you. God cares about you. God is not silent, but he may be calling you to a place that you weren't expecting to go. And it doesn't make it easy, and it doesn't make it go away, that pain of not understanding. But sometimes God brings us into the desert. The Bible says that Bible uses this kind of imagery in the Old Testament. I'm calling you into the desert to minister to you, and that may be where you are right now, but I'm sorry you have to deal with that at this time of year.
I'm very sorry, Bethany. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for calling. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. We have Julie on the line from Lakeville. Julie, you have a question for Paul and Wendy.
Hi. Yes. Hi. Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome.
I just had a question. You know, I have three little kids with a father who is an alcoholic, and you know that yesterday he came over to our house, and him and his mom just like accused and yelled and swore at me, and I just like, okay, I'm wondering if we could, as Christians, are we allowed to put up boundaries, or I don't really know. I stayed calm as best I could and just try to get my point across, but I don't know how that works. Like, how do you deal with that? How do you, as Christians, how are we supposed to handle that?
That's a great question. God is not calling you to be hurt by someone. He's not calling you to be used by someone, to be yelled at by someone. And yes, the answer is to boundaries. Now, I'm not a professional in this area, so I would say get help from someone who understands the dynamics of your relationship or a relationship like yours to help you draw those boundaries. But forgiveness is not allowing someone to walk over you and hurting you. You are a child of God. You are made in the image of God. You are loved by God. You are precious in God's sight. Do not think that forgiveness is about letting someone hurt you, either emotionally or physically. And yes, boundaries are good.
Mm-hmm. Julie, thank you so much for the call. I hope that's been helpful.
Yes, thank you so much.
You're so welcome. I have Lorna on the line from Crookston, Minnesota. Did I say that right? Lorna, welcome to the show.
Yes. Hi. I listen to your guys' show all the time.
So. Thank you. Thank you.
But this one really just hits home with me. My heart goes out to Paul and Wendy. I did not lose a son to murder, but I lost his son 6.5 years ago to his drinking and driving and a rollover.
I'm sorry. So sorry.
And, And I almost lost another son at the same time. Mm-hmm. but it was 3 years later. Well, before that happened, I had three kids just disown me after my son passed away. Mm-hmm. And I still try to make sense and reason out of it. Mm-hmm. But I can't. Mm-hmm. And it was 3 years later that my son had survived the accident. Was arrested for molesting his daughter, my granddaughter. And I'd heard Wendy mention they were in Faribault not too long ago, and that's actually where my son is. So maybe he heard you guys speak.
Yeah, I hope
so. You know, he'd came back to me, but in light of what he has done, I was very upset and hurt and torn between, okay, am I supposed to feel like a grandma? Am I supposed to feel like a mom?
Yeah, boy.
But I have forgiven him.
Good for you.
And I am there for him. Oh, excuse me?
Good for you.
Well, I don't know. I had a daughter that came back into my life with my three grandchildren. Then she found out that I was writing to my son and in turn pretty much told me I had to make a choice between communicating with my son or her and my grandchildren. And I told her, I said, I can't make that choice because regardless of what he's done, he's still my son.
That's right. And, you know, in this kind of a situation, you need to try to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And if you feel like you're led toward that relationship with your son, then I would say that that would be a place I would go. And I just want to say I'm really sorry for all of that. The world is so broken. I was just telling our congregation yesterday, if we just understood the brokenness that sin has caused, you know, it's just so hard. And I'm very, very sorry. But yes, on forgiveness, good job. And don't let somebody rob you of the joy of forgiveness.
I think you're also, in listening to your heart, that you're trying to be Jesus to all of these people. And I think you're doing a beautiful job of that. You're trying to show love in all of these different circumstances. And they may just not be at a place where they're understanding your heart and your decisions. But we can pray that they will come to understanding.
Thank you, Lorna, so much. God bless you. And we're kind of a little bit out of time. We still have more calls, but Paul or Wendy, would you pray for our listeners that called in today and all the ones that didn't?
Yeah, sure will, Bill. Lord, thank you for each of these callers and those that are just rummaging through their own lives right now. I pray, God, that you would give them wisdom. I pray that you would give them comfort. I pray, God, that you would help them to see you in a way that they've never seen you before. And God, I just pray that you'd give them hope. Hope is something that eludes us sometimes. And what I hear in the background of these questions and comments is a despair there, Lord. So please just help them to navigate through a very difficult time of year for many. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Paul and Wendy, thank you so much for being here with us today. We didn't cover everything that came in. We still have more questions. So maybe we can continue at some other time because this is a huge subject. So thank you so
thanks,
much.
Thanks, Bill. It's great to be here.
Yeah, Pastor Paul Johnson and his wife Wendy have been in studio. Paul is the senior pastor at Ridgewood Church in Minnetonka. And you can, the website of Paul is what?
MyRWC.org.
Perfect. Thank you so much for being in the studio. We have a great second hour coming up. My friend Jeff Verdorn is in studio. We'll be back in just a minute. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.